Hi, my name's Sean Taylor. That's my friend Chris Ford, a.k.a. the Objective Geek of YouTube and Blue Sky and LinkedIn fame. Not because he's looking for jobs, just because people come to him for advice. And welcome to Avatar The Last Podcasters. Today we're doing, last week we did our top five overrated characters. And we did that just to make you all upset first. First, and that's how we wanted to kick down the door. This week we're doing underrated characters, our top five underrated characters. We'll do the same. We'll snake back and forth. Chris will start this week. But before we get to that, Chris, what are you doing? How you been? What are you up to?
I am doing great. Couple things. My favorite thing right now, my favorite toy, I just bought it. Christmas gift to myself. I love this so much. It is the Black Power Ranger Power Apps. Sick. It is. I saw it on Amazon. Well, this is a fan creation. This isn't official, but because they made official like weapons for all of them except for Zach and Kimberly. So they never made this. This is actually foam, and I bought it. It was like $60. I was like, I'm not sure it's good, but I'll risk it. And I love this thing.
It looks amazing. So yeah. What's Kimberly even? What is her weapon?
I don't even remember. Bow and arrow.
Oh,
a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But this thing, and it's firm, good grip. Like I feel like I could go. Well, yeah. I always forget. Like I don't. Like it's supposed to be also a blaster. I always forget that this is actually a gun that he can use, but he doesn't use it often. Usually, most of the time he uses it just as a power axe.
Well, it looks equally violent either side.
Yeah,
like it looks like he can chop a person in half with that bad boy, you know. But yeah, I mean, they don't get cut in half; they just make sparky noises. And
oh yeah, but I love this thing.
In the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle video games, it didn't really occur to young Sean that the video game could be on a comic lore based on separate lore or whatever. And so I haven't seen the movie before I saw the TV show. It felt weird to like be killing Foot Clan soldiers and they were just robots, you know, just, yeah. Just mindless robots. But no, Chris, that looks great.
Other things I've been up to, I've been binging Smallville. That's been my exciting binge lately. I haven't watched Smallville since it came out. I've been rewatching it for some reason. That's a really good show. I was like, oh man, this is a really good show. We are getting to season 4, and I'm like, I don't know if the quality keeps up. But out of 10 seasons, because like, oh, someone they started leaning into certain romances and stuff.
Ooh.
I'm like, I don't like that. But man, Lois Lane comes in. She's so freaking good. The actress for it, she is a really great Lois Lane. I think she's the best Lois Lane. She had like from episode one, she has just that spunk and like that banter with Clark Kent. And like they have this like, he's still not over Lana Lane. I don't know, you know, Lana is. But Lana is like a character, is a heavy in the lore of Superman. Or at least in Clark Kent.
Isn't she in the third movie?
Yes. Yes, yeah. She is. Okay. Yeah. So he gets over her. And then, so Lois comes in. But he's not into Lois yet. But they just got this combative relationship. You know, just like banter stuff. But like, God, the actress does it so well. She's so good. Erica Durant, I think is her name. She's my favorite Lois actress. So Smallville, that binge has been really good. There's something else that I wanted to mention. Man, what was it? Quick thing that I found funny today. So we do Secret Santa at my job on the team. We had our party today, our Christmas party, and we did Secret Santa. I run Secret Santa. Like I think when we're international at Payless, they're also in Secret Santa, which is a lot easier than, because I don't know how I became managed it, but I did. But it was all easy then.
Most cheerful.
I think one year I was just like, hey, are we doing Secret Santa again? Or like, you do it. I'm like, all right, I'll.
Sorry, we were all doing it like a nose goes thing, and you asked first. Yeah.
So usually then I would just print out the names, cut them up, put them in one of my cereal boxes. People reaches the cereal box, grab a name. It was easy. Just make sure you didn't grab your own name. But since most people in my job work hybrid, we're never in the office the same days. I had to create an Excel spreadsheet to randomize it. That part is pretty easy. But also had to do it in a way that I didn't see who everyone had. That way I didn't see who had me. And so I had a couple different checks in it and stuff just to make sure a person didn't get themselves, just to make sure everyone got listed and stuff. So I had different checks in there, but I'm still always worried. And then I had to, like, so I had a column that the color of the font was white. That way it just blended into the background. And I would paste it, I would copy it, and then paste it into an email and send to the people, and then I'll say, hey, just hover over it, or just copy it and then paste values into something else. That way you can see who they are. That way I didn't see that Secret Santa. And so there's a little bit of possible human error that can happen there. I'm sure I could automize it to where I can just put in the email's name, like in a cell, and it'll send the email, but I didn't.
That's what I was going to suggest, is you could have had column A is the person's name that you'd be gifting to, so just the name, and column B is the email of the person that you're sending that name to. You just, like, randomize and power automate, and you test it once on, like, a couple people, right, make sure it works right, and then you do it on the full slate, and just, it would just, you know, email this name to this person in the subject line or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it still would have been a pain in the ass.
But today, we did it, and they were like, all right, who has, the way we revealed, we just say, who has Chris, get up and give him his gift. So I was the second person. My boss goes, all right, who has Chris? And then, like, one person gets up, another person gets up, another person gets up, and they all go and grab a gift, and they come to me, and I'm like, wait, who has Chris? And for some reason, I said it in third person. And they're like, yeah, I have you. And she was like, I have you, and I have you. And I was like, crap, really? Really? Oh, crap. Dang it. I freaking made a mistake. How? And I don't curse off. And it's not a curse. I was like, what the hell? What the hell happened? What did I do?
I've ruined Christmas.
And yeah, they were just pranking me.
That's amazing.
They knew that I was, like, somewhat, I wasn't worried about it, but they knew, like, I was like, all right, I got to get this right. I got to respect the sanctity of Secret Santa and stuff. I was like, oh, gosh, thank goodness.
Well, and obviously, you take a lot of pride in your Excel work, honestly, you know.
Yeah. I was honestly pranked because I was hot, wearing a sweater, like, nervous. But
that's a solid prank, right? It's quick, harmless, but convincing. That's compelling, the time, the delivery. Yeah. Nicely done. Nicely done, team.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. My work substituted White Elephant for trivia, and it was bland, and I didn't like it, but Chris, stepping back half a step, what streaming conglomerate nonsense is Smallville on? Is that WB and therefore Netflix?
No. To my annoyance, it's on Hulu.
Okay.
And why hasn't HBO Max taken over that yet? Like, I don't know why it hasn't moved over to HBO Max, but it's been on Hulu for a while, and now I only have Hulu with ads, and that's annoying. But I'm not paying for real Hulu because I just get it free. I've gotten it free through my phone carrier since I've never paid for Hulu.
And Chris, I still use the ads for pee breaks. Like, it's 1990s. That's when I go to the bathroom.
I don't mind ads. Yeah, we're 90s kids. It's like, hey, I get it. You're trying to pay for what you're doing. Cool.
Without my money, specifically.
The way this works is there's three parties. You provide the show. I watch the show. Thank you. The companies pay you. They get to show their ad on your thing. I see their ads. I may or may not go to them and buy their product, but I see their product. I get how the business works. I agree with it. I sign up for it. We're good.
I'm still going to the bathroom when the ads are on, but I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, duly noted. I remember watching a little bit of it, I feel like, on WB back in the day. Maybe not a ton, but a bit. But that's my interest. Right now I've been binging. I always have something in the background while I'm working. Otherwise, I get lonely. It's out of sight, out of mind, right? Like, I'm working here. It's over here. I can't even see it. I can only hear it. But I've been doing Bob's Burgers. It's one of those where I've always enjoyed what I've watched, but never enough to, like, pursue. And I get it. Yeah, I get I get all the pros and the cons. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I was interrupting you. But I saw a random clip. Every clip I see of Bob's Burgers, I think I should watch the show. Like, there was one clip where he was like, they thought the person who was at the restaurant was like a child predator or something. Mm-hmm. Hey, you go over there and serve them. They're not going to touch you. Or something like that. And it was just like,
they're trying to figure out if she's the math kind of autistic, and they drop the matches on the floor. Like the Rain Man. And no, Tina, it's three. Yeah. Oh my god. I get all the pros and cons. I don't like the animation style. I love H. John Benjamin.
I hate it. We got to some point in like the late 2000s where animate like adult cartoons were like, we're not gonna spend money on animation.
And it like, just looks grotesque, like stuff on Adult Swim, stupid lazy like, way.
Hunger Team Force, whatever that was. There was some show called Home Video. Aqua Teen Hunger Force. There was some other show called Home Videos. Absolutely terrible anime. Terrible, just everything. And even like Bob's Burgers doesn't have good anime. Like,
nope, it's the unsettling.
Quality is somewhat. But it's like, man, you guys couldn't get like some. Like, I get that sometimes shows have different styles and stuff, but it's like, all right, this is just lazy.
But it really is, I would say, I'll put it on my list. It'll be in my rotation, but like in the outer rotation ring, if that makes sense. Like there's the real rotation, and then there's like the ancillary plug, because it might be the most wholesome comedy on TV. It's kind of precious in a nice, heartwarming way, and most of the comedy actually is pretty funny. So that's been my streaming show, and then I've been playing a ton of Magic the Gathering Arena. And Chris, I'm doing great. It's an earthbending deck that builds counters. Okay. So it's mono green, so it's only green, and I play what's called Brawl, so you can only have one copy of every card in your deck, as opposed to a standard deck, which would be 60 cards, and you can have up to four. Brawl or Commander.
Up to four, huh? I guess.
Yep, it's a little different. Is 60 cards and up to four copies instead of the old 40 and three that we're used to. But Brawl or Commander is one copy of a card and 100 cards, so it's way more variable. That being said,
holy crap,
it is. But it makes things more random. Like it has a way of giving you a chance, even with a lesser deck. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I've been winning, I'm going to say, 30 to 40% of my matches with my current mono-green commander deck. So just all green, no extra colors in there. And that's way better than I've ever done. So now I'm in the process of printing a bunch of proxies of the stuff I don't have. And or figuring out which ones are cheap so I can go buy.
Are you actually gonna print them, or you just write your name on them? I mean, write the title on them.
I will have.
Well, you need to read.
There's a lot of reading, and Ian has a nice Inkwell printer like the good, super efficient. So I'll just like black and white, but yeah, I'll print them. And then even to build it, and I'm proud of this because like other decks, if you look up other decks that people are building, they'll be like $400, $500, like just insane. Like, because it'll cost you, you put it into a service like TCG Player or something. It'll say, oh yeah, this deck would cost this much to build. Even this one is like $200. And I'm winning like 30 to 40. And that to me is perfect. It's like, all right, well, this deck that I've built on this like $200 budget, and it's doing this good. So I'm really proud of it. So I'm going to build proxies and then start fleshing it out. It's not very avatar heavy. There's like 10 avatar cards out of the 100 in there, which feels kind of silly. But it's like a perfect fit for this other previous idea I already had and I already used, and I was already winning, let's say, 20 to 30% with this other idea. But it was missing something, Chris. And the something it was missing was the earthbending, and now it's great. I'm so excited. So, yeah, I've been playing a lot of Arena. Earthbending fit great. For Magic people, when you earthbend a land, the land turns into a creature that and you put counters on a creature, so it naturally fits into a counter-based deck. And then when you destroy the land, it comes back to the field tapped. When you destroy the creature land and it comes back to the field as just tapped land, that triggers landfall. So like half of my stuff is good with counters and half of it's good with landfall. And so it's good. A lot of fun. Looking forward to getting in person with the other group, and even if it's mostly proxies at that time, to playing with my deck in person. So, yeah, and I invested more money in it because I wanted to. I'm so excited. Chris, let's talk about underrated Avatar characters. So, same premise as last week, except for the exact opposite. Pretty subjective. Similar in the sense that we did not discuss with each other, and we kind of went different directions last week of what's underrated or overrated mean to us, and I think that's great. And we'll reverse the order this time, so you'll go first with the odds.
All right. Oh, crap. I did the wrong thing. Undo that. All right. My number 5 is Foaming Mouth Guy. Foaming Mouth Guy deserves more credit. He, you know, he showed up in the show maybe one less time than the Cabbage Guy, and I think his comedy is better. I think the getting so excited and stuff, and the trip to the point of foaming, and then especially the best one is when they come back to Omashu and he's foaming. And he realizes Aang is there. And he wipes his mouth off. He's so disappointed. Like, that's just animation. That's just pure animation. No dialogue, nothing. They told a complete story with him. It's great.
Just in the Bob's Burgers episodes, I finished watching like 30 minutes before we started. It's about a boy band concert, but like boy band, like exacerbated, right? Like the idea of boy bands exacerbated. And so Tina's going to this concert and she just says the word like boy, and like a group of girls next to her is like, oh, boys, where? And then they just throw up because they're so excited. Anyway, my number 5 is, this is my cheating answer here, the White Lotus. All of them. I love how these individual vignettes we've picked up of these really interesting characters come together in the end to be a crucial part of the end game. I love all the characters individually. Individually, they're probably not really under... You know, I think people like Pian Dao and Zhong Zhong, for example. But, like, I just love how in The Last Airbender specifically, sorry, I should note that. I just love how all those vignettes come together and all those very, very likable, I'm like super, super political or like apolitical, like above politics of the world people, come together and do incredible things on the battlefield in the greatest time of need, and incredible things in servitude of the Avatar in his time of greatest need. And I don't know, it's one of my favorite little beats about Avatar as a whole. And that's number four. I feel like I should take a screenshot when we do stuff like this. Chris, I put Foaming Mouth Guy as my number four. I'll hand it to you. His gag is good. I don't need to see a lot of it, but I also think that's part of the appeal, is I don't have to see. I see he's there. He's got an episode.
It's not like I would add. I don't think I would add any more. I'm not like, oh, there's not enough content around Foaming Mouth Guy. He did what he needed to do.
If he made like one cameo in another episode where there's like refugees or something, you know, something like that, it's like, okay, I could like one more little throw in somewhere. Like, okay. But that's kind of his appeal, is that he does his thing and then he gets out and he delivers the bit effectively. So no, I'll give it to you. You've won me over on Foaming Mouth by a guy being having a good bit. I think he's got a card too. It's called...
He does.
It's not called Foaming Mouth Guy. Over, it's called something like Exuberant Fan.
Like Overexcited Fan? Exuberant Fan.
Something like that, But he doesn't have any packaging made of him.
Yeah, he's not on the cover. Mm. Like, honestly, that's too much. That might be the straw that broke the camel's back with Cabbage
Guy. This guy got a whole corporation and a magic pack. Like,
ridiculous. Yeah, like, come on. Like... there's not a Sokka one. There's not a... It's too much.
Just foam. Just Cabbage Guy.
My number four is Ozai. I mentioned before in our previous episode, I've probably mentioned Ozai a lot, but Ozai's the most powerful firebender in the show. He is the biggest threat. He just is. He doesn't miss out on the show. Another reason why I think Ozai is really underrated is, you know, and I mentioned this before, the more I try to write a character that is just like pure evil and stuff, it's hard. like to create a character like Ozai, who's written, I think, pretty well, like, who works absolutely well for the show, and yet he is still somewhat of a flat character. It sounds like a backhanded compliment. It does. But that is hard to do, because he is more so a concept than anything. He's the concept of evil, and I think that is, like I said, it's really hard to write, and I think people give it credit for.
Well, I think that's why they kind of keep him out of sight, out of mind for big chunks, right? It's easier than trying to find more things to happen and develop without keeping that character what it is, which is a pretty flat evil concept.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. I'm on number three. My number three had to do it as Korra. You know, my luckily to have a number one.
Chris is doing us a favor by putting her number three instead of number one.
Reason why she's probably number three and not number one is that she does have a very passionate fan base, I think. Korra is... She's underrated in her character arc. She's underrated in people perceive her, because a lot of people be like, ah, hey, Korra, she's so brash and stuff. And then I ask them, did you just watch season one? And they're like, yeah, I couldn't get... Shut up. Maybe not shut up. That's too
hush.
But you need to watch. you need to watch all of it, because it's called a character arc. Like I said, her arc is underrated. Her power is underrated. And they're like, oh, she's always getting beat up. I'm like, look at who she's fighting. Like... Look at those circumstances. She has PTSD in some of these fights. The fight against the person she's fighting isn't the biggest battle to her right now. It's a battle going on inside. Or it's like, or she's being poisoned. Like, Korra went through the freaking ringer, and she gets no respect. Or she doesn't get the respect she deserves. So I'm an avid Corey defender, and she deserves better.
Beautifully stated. Full disclosure, I have her as an honorable mention. She would have been like my sixth-ish ballpark on the underrated scale. Chris, my number three, I'm proud of it, but it's weird. Bear with me a second here. So in Avatar The Last Airbender, there's one thing, there's a scene that we mention that does a really nice job of informing Iroh's past in a way that's palatable for a child's television show. It adds the gravity of the horrors of war and stuff again within the confines of a children's television show. It's a very important scene. We reference it all the time, but it's just this one guy delivering like two lines in 30 seconds on screen. And it's that Earth Kingdom soldier that's talking to Iroh and that delivers that bit. And so I just wanted to throw that guy a bone of like, what an interesting, I don't think there can be a smaller like bit part character in terms of screen time that delivers like the as much sort of show adding clarity to some of the details in the back of the context is that guy's like 30 seconds of screen time does. I just wanted to give him some credit. Thanks, Earth Kingdom soldier, for like reminding us, oh yeah, this is a horrible war and people died, lots of them.
Yeah.
And
again, this person's responsible.
And this guy is responsible that you like too much, by the way. You as in the royal you, not you specifically, Chris. But no, what an informative character for a guy, literal bit part. Just wanted to throw him a bone. My number two, I was proud of that one. My number two is Asami. Asami has one of my favorite, it might not be good to call it an arc because she's always a good character, but she may be one of my favorite journeys. She comes from money. She's got brains and skill. She has every reason to not be a good person and to be a bad guy, but she's not. She's just like kind of inherently a good person, judging by her dad's actions, clearly not because of nurture necessarily. I believe it is her character that inspires her dad to turn the page at the last minute and commit the ultimate sacrifice in a very pivotal moment. And I think that's all 100% to Asami's character. I mostly kind of like her interpersonal relationships with Team Avatar. I think the reason I made her, that I see her as underrated, is I think that she might be my favorite or second favorite non-bender in the universe. I'm really torn between her and Suki as my peak non-benders in the universe. No offense, Sokka, he's on the list somewhere too. Mm-hmm. Asami, number two.
Asami's not on my list, but she's probably definitely underrated. Yeah. My number two is, wait, why did I not have, oh, I thought I was gonna put that twice. Sorry. My number two is Iroh the second. My second most underrated. We mentioned before, he might be the most powerful firebender. Like that 5 minutes is the most
what that guy could do with some more screen time, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like this dude was Iron Manning and out of planes and stuff, lightning bending. Imagine you don't know what a plane is. It hasn't been invented yet. And you jump on one and you're fighting midair against other planes. Like that's nuts. And you are winning and taking down multiple planes. And you've never flown in the air before.
He jumps never in there and he's like, ignore everything but the steering wheel.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's been in airships and stuff, but he's a naval.
He's probably tech familiar, if not experienced.
But to fight against ships, It's freaking nuts. Like, I've never seen firebenders without some type of boost been the way he does, of being able to just be like, jet propulsion is usually a feat only seen when fibers get a boost. And he is flying around the place, like landing on top of planes enough that he can, like, he landed on one, like he proposed over to it, and then like he was able to like land, like propose
like a soft land, you know what I mean, like a clean step.
Yeah, to where like he firebend out his feet, he controlled his fire enough to land on a plane. Like, he didn't just like grab onto the plane, he like just landed on it. I can't explain. Anyway,
I'm not just trying to make Chris's point more valid, but I forgot to put him on my list, right? That's it's just the amount of screen time the poor guy gets, because what a specimen. Yeah. What a specimen.
Oh man, in that point of view, he definitely deserves more screen time.
They couldn't let it be over too fast. They gotta keep that guy in the middle of the ocean where he can't ruin whole story arcs, you know what I mean?
Why is this guy controlling a navy?
It's too strong. That's fantastic. I forget what we did last time. Did we do honorable mentions first or one and then honorable mentions?
We did last.
Okay, so your
Oh, it's one. My turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. My number one is Suki. And some of this underrated comes from people who don't read the comics. She's the best non-bender. She has weapons expertise. She has chi blocking. She's mastered it. She has acrobatics.
But is she her family filthy rich, Chris? She doesn't have the superpower of generational wealth.
She doesn't. But and something about Suki, right? Like she gets left off with so much promotional material and stuff. She was an OG member of Team Avatar, I think. Before Toph, before Zuko, she was fighting along with Team Avatar.
No disparate comments from that. That's nicely put. I think I prefer Asami of my non-benders, but Suki remains my preferred Sokka pairing, with plenty of disrespect meant to Iwe and that whole garbage.
And you always say that name wrong.
And I still have no idea how to make
it. It's just Iwe. You say like Patrick Ewing, but with like...
Yeah, it's his first daughter. And then wonder what that guy's up to these days. But no, that nonsense or the Toph nonsense, she remains my preferred Sokka partner for sure. Chris, my number one, let's get political, but not our political, just the politics of people liking shows and whatnot. My number one is Aman. And the reason is that when you talk to people about The Legend of Korra, and the number of people, I prefer Avatar. I've always said that. I like it better. It's more fun. I'll watch it more. Love Korra. When you talk to people who, like, I like Avatar, and they started Korra or didn't start Korra or couldn't get into it or whatever, and it's so strange to me, and I think it's because it's such a staunch difference, because that first season of Korra is like a perfect whodunit thriller with a great, relatable villain with a great backstory and a cool power and a neat shtick in a new place. It's like a tight 12 episodes of tension. Yeah. And it's great. And he's my favorite villain, I think, of the whole series. And so it's so backwards to me. I mean, I do get it because it's so different, but it's so weird to me that people might like watch season one or not all of season one of Korra and then stop and say something like, well, I couldn't really get into it, or like, well, just the first season. Like, what what's not to like about this guy? It's a tremendous, and I think it's just the tonal difference. I really do. To this day, I think it's just a big tonal shift. The show tried to age up with the people, and the people didn't. And again, I like watching kids shows all the time, so I get it. But I'm on for that reason, in the sense that that season seems to like turn people away or scare people off, and I just don't get it. I don't at all. I'm going to let that segue into my honorable mentions, Chris, which is that you could make a really good case for lots of characters in the Korra series, just because more people need to watch it and try harder to appreciate it. And since we talked a little bit about gimmicks, gimmick characters, I know he's a different kind of character than Foaming Mouth Guy or the Cabbage Merchant, but I really do like Varric more as like a comic relief side character than those other bits. I think Varric is a pretty hilarious dude.
Sean, have we ranked the villains in Avatar? We must have.
Strictly villains. It sure feels like we have. Because it feels like it's not the first time saying that Amon's my favorite, you know, even over like a, you know, presumably Zaheer if I had to think about it next, and then Azula up there somewhere, I guess. Oh, wow, I just got indigestion really bad. Got all worked up.
Ranking? Oh, no, I think we definitely did it. We did. We had Amon as number one. Yes, we absolutely did it. We had, just for reference, out of the 12 or so Avatar villains, the main ones, Hun Dun was number 12, okay, from the Legend of Korra video game. Number 11, Zhao.
Just sex.
Number 10, Ozai. I'll probably put Ozai maybe a little.
That's a little harsh. Yeah.
Well, once I start going through the villains, though, mm-hmm, I'm like, okay, maybe I wouldn't change it. Number 9, Zuko. I'll probably put Ozai over Zuko. Yeah. Number 8, Yoon. Number 7, Unalaq / Vatu. Number 6, Chasey. Wow. That was... Or Chasey from Yangchen.
She was maybe neat. I don't know if in hindsight that feels high, but she was neat.
I think the aspect of that I liked, even though it might have been a recency bias for us, because we probably did it around the time we read the Yangchen novel. But the thing I did like about her was she tried to have this like sisterly relationship with Yangchen. I mean, it wasn't always, more like a mentor sister, not like, oh, hey, we should be best friends. More like, I see something in you, like we can work together, and type of deal.
I like that she is a completely different type of villain, and I'm okay with that.
Number 5, Kuvira. Number 4, Azula. Number 3, Jeonju. Number 2, Zaheer. And number 1, Amon.
I almost put Kuvira into my overrated segment, and it's not because I don't like her. That's just another time where her journey, her arc, I don't necessarily buy into this Kuvira villain that I'm looking at getting to that place from where she was, right? I have a little trouble believing that Metal Clan soldier, well-nurtured person turns into gonna murder my family with Spirit Vine mechs person. But I didn't even put her in my honorable mentions. I considered Kuvira in that list. But she's so skilled in her, I like her creative bending. Like, she's very resourceful as a bender, and that's something I appreciate. But no, Amon, and Zaheer obviously is great, but no, Amon's great, and so I think it bugs me extra. Like, if you got to the second, obviously I know I'm biased, if you got halfway through the second season of Korra and you're like, this is weird, I'm like, all right, do you want to power through and try to get to season 3? But there's just a lot of people that will say that they haven't tried Korra at all, or, you know, they watched a little bit of it and didn't get into it, and I just,
yeah,
Man,
ah, season is 3 is so good.
Yeah, it's like, you just power through. I know.
I remember watching it week to week. That one, man, watching it week to week was
back
that
in the day when we did that.
That season's really tight, also like season one, but like stuff was happening. Felt like every episode it was that season was really well written.
Whereas, again, I know we have some of our disagreements on too, but I think it would be the easiest to explain if somebody's like, yeah, I liked season one, and then I watched season two, and I was like, this is kind of dumb and slow, and I'd be like, okay. Try to get season through two it is anyway.
Slow. And there's stuff in season two that's like, I don't care where this is going.
Yep.
Like the Civil War aspect of it. Even though Varric is great, the Varric shady businessman aspect of it. The Mako being framed. Nah. So like if I'm looking at a third of the plot points and I'm like, ah.
It's well in season three that could have been that maybe could have gone somewhere or could have been bigger, but it just wasn't and didn't, you know.
Yeah. Well in season three a subplot point is like the Earth Queen and Daily agents are kidnapping kids and Bumi is dealing with being an airbender and trying to get over his own insecurities and stuff.
The tens and familial bits are so like, touching and really draw you into his family in a nice way.
On top of that, you have the main plot of Zaheer and stuff and try to get Korra.
Season four, you know, might not be that smooth, but even season four, like my underrated honorable mentions, like so you can make a case for so many of Korra characters just because people need to give it a little more credit across the board. But like Prince Wu, you know, look at that guy. Look at that guy growing up into an actual useful person. Things like that. Anyway, you know what? Listen, power through season two if you haven't, and you will be rewarded with season three. And I don't think too many people will blame you. Chris, nice axe.
My honorable mentions. It's so nice to just hold. Like, I want to hit somebody with it.
It looks the proportioned reviews. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like it.
Oh, it, yeah, fits it is. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that was the thing, is I was like, oh, these proportions got to be, because you can easily get it wrong. Like, it could be stubby, it could be, but no, it's like, so freaking good. my honorable mentions, Kaya. Kaya's a freaking great waterbender. Sure, she got her butt beat, but she got her butt beat by a really great waterbender. Speaking of which, Ming-Hwa, like, people talk about how creepy Hama is, and I think Ming-Hwa is, like, especially creepy. She's armless, but all of her like attacks feel lethal because she'll create like a scythe out of water at the end there, and then the puppetry she did when she disguised herself as all those airbenders in the temple, and then like you know when it's revealed that it's a trap, and she releases her water from it, and they all fall down. Like, there's some real deep creepiness stuff about Ming-Hwa.
She's definitely more interesting, other than, Pali being, like, having the cool sub-bending type. Ming-Hwa is definitely, like, a more interesting character than Pali.
Yeah. Yeah, Pali is just, like, it's kind of shallow or kind of just like surface level. Like,
bit.
Oh,
it's just, she has, she's cool, but
it's just their bending. Yeah. And her character design is great. I love her character design, like single long braid. And just, she's freaking like 7 foot tall.
She looks like an absolute mammoth.
I got two more honorable mentions. Jet. Yeah. I'll mention Jet as underrated.
I'm cutting this part out, Chris. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, and Mako. I think Mako gets a bad rap because of the love triangle stuff.
Interesting.
And I think a lot of it's not his fault. And sometimes I think he's just doing the best he can. especially in book two. But he's a really, like, he is the older brother that takes responsibility. He's probably the most responsible person in the whole show. Like, you have to take care of his brother on the streets, keep him out of trouble, raise him. He doesn't get enough credit for that.
I respect that. I probably stand by what I said earlier, but I didn't think enough into sort of his contextual things that he may or may not have contributed, not directly on screen.
No.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an honorable mention, so.
Barely underrated. Chris, great topics. Love talking about that stuff. I'm going to postseason go to bed because my baby's finally got little teethers, and so he wakes up early, and I don't like that. Finally, it seems like it took him a while. But it's
7 months?
He's 9.5 months, and he's finally just getting like a little bitty one little bit.
Oh, Sean, he'll start. I mean, he's crawling around, right?
He pushes himself.
Wait,
backwards.
I'm sorry. That's not.
He
I'm
rolls
sorry.
Around.
I'm sorry, that's not really judgmental. No, I apologize.
Every kid does their own thing. No, yeah. He gets around because he really only pushes himself backwards or rolls or like butt scoots. He does not crawl forward. I call him a stormtrooper because the safest thing in the room is the thing he's aiming at. which, yeah, I'm proud of that joke. But nope. No, he just got one little nub in there, teeny tiny. And it's funny that, like, we kind of gave up, like, for a while there at, like, the 7 to 8 month, every day we were checking because he was drooling so much. We're like, oh, that's got to be, like, teeth, right? We checked every day and we finally gave up. The other day, he got something hard, and we heard it, like, tinking on whatever it was. Like,
oh, God.
That little tink, tink, tink. Yeah. It's like, that's nasty, and good for him, though, I guess. But anyway, not seeming very good. So, yeah, I'm going to post this, and I'm going to go to bed for as long as my child will let me. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Appreciate you. Appreciate you being here. If you can leave any of the positive interactions... positive digital exchange.
We need another review. We haven't had a review on the Apple Podcast in a while. We're still at 19. Let's get to 20.
Well, to be fair, I still don't know how to fix the podcast.com thing, Chris. We might be exclusively a YouTube podcast.
It's working now for some reason, Sean.
Oh, it just is?
Yeah, I mean, the most recent episode's up there, Avatar, Magic the Gathering, Pack Breaking, but that was November 24th. Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. Because I pretty much tried the things that I know how to do, which was very few, without literally starting a new one, which I was like, no, I'm not going to.
No, it is. I don't know what. Oh, I have Spotify on here. I don't. Let me check Spotify real quick. But Apple Podcasts works. It's always worked on YouTube Music because YouTube Music will just take from YouTube if there's not something. Why can't I search? Okay, there we go. Avatar, The Last Podcasters. Let's see if it's on Spotify. Avatar. I'm signed in. That's weird. Maybe I'm not. There it is. Avatar, The Last Podcasters. Chris Ford. That's my name. And Google Chores. It's going in. And it is updated as well. Yep.
Neat. Good for them. I didn't do nothing. Well, I.
Oh, we have 15 reviews on Spotify. We're at a 4.8, baby.
I'll give myself credit. I tried reviews to do things. I tried to do things that didn't work. But I'm glad that somebody. It makes me feel validated. It's like, oh, well, see, it wasn't my fault. At least that's what I'm going to say out loud. That's not a good way to think. Kids, don't do that. But
Thank you for those reviews.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. In the meantime, have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Or maybe we won't.
I'm not. Maybe. This ain't no contract. Actually, I don't know if this is the 5th. Next week is the 12th. Then 19th. So we'll do like... Yeah, like if we do two the next time to do 19th and Christmas.
Yeah,
it'll work.
Okay.
We'll see you guys next time.